We've heard such wonderful preaching this past weekend, and I'm not here to give you a new revelation. There's only one revelation, but multiple illuminations. So we've heard wonderful speaking, wonderful preaching, and wonderful singing. God bless all of you. Awesome job leading us into worship. And again, thank you, Pastor Darryl and Pastor Darlene, for your support and your love and the opportunity this afternoon. I know that you're hungry and you're ready to go home, but I just want you to just open up your spiritual ears just for a moment and listen to the words found in the book of Exodus chapter 24, verse number 15. Exodus 24, verse 15. Then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now, I want you to look at it. Verse 15, pay close attention here. Then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Now, the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And everybody shout, on the seventh day, he called Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud, went up into the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Just for a few moments, I want to leave you with this thought before we go home. When the clouds block the sun. Would you say that with me this afternoon? When the clouds block the sun. Lord, just add your blessing to the preaching and the hearing of the word. And everyone shouted a great big amen. How many would agree with me that weather plays a significant role in how you feel every day? I mean, when it's raining outside, when it's cloudy outside, you have a tendency to feel more tired. When it is snowing outside, I have a tendency to make biscuits and gravy and curl up on the couch and watch a Christmas movie. Can I hear an amen? Amen. When it is beautiful outside and the sun is shining, I want to go take my little girl, my wife, and go take a walk or go to the park. I think that we all can agree that the weather really does play a significant role in how each of us feels on a daily basis. And I've titled this sermon, When the Clouds Block the Sun. Because when you go to this text this afternoon, you will find Moses, God's appointed man, God's anointed man. The Bible says he goes to the mountain of the Lord. And the mountain was called Mount Sinai. And when he gets to the mountain, the Bible says he is in on top of the mountain for 6 days. And the cloud covered the mountain for 6 days. My friends, Moses is on top of the mountain in a cloudy day. But not just a cloudy day, but for 6 days, he's in the clouds, sitting there, waiting to hear from God. How would you feel if God called you to the mountain and you climbed the mountain excited to hear from God, but when you got to the mountain, you sat there for 6 days in a cloud? The Bible says the cloud covered the mountain for 6 days. Moses is on top of the mountain. He's there on a cloudy day, but just not a cloudy day. He's there for 6 days. Cloudy days, and God did not speak. My friends, I'm excited to hear from the Lord. I'm excited to get a word from God, but I'm not excited if I got to sit there for 6 days in the clouds doing nothing. But Moses is on the mountain. He's in the cloudy days, but he hears nothing from the Lord. But the Bible tells us that on verse 15, 16, that the Bible says on the seventh day, God calls Moses out of the cloud. God begins to speak to Moses on the seventh day. So what did Moses do on the first day? What did Moses do on the second day? What did Moses do on the third day? What did Moses do on the fourth day, and the fifth day, and the sixth day? He sit He was sitting in the clouds on the mountain waiting to hear God's voice. How many would raise your hand and say, I've been there before? I have been there when it seems like the clouds are blocking the sun. I have been in a situation in my life where it seems to be very cloudy and the sun is not shining and God is not speaking. Is there anybody in the building that can wave your hand and say, I've been there? I've been on top of the mountain expecting God to move, expecting God to do miracles, expecting to hear God's voice. But when I got there, I heard nothing, and I'm in the clouds for 6 days. But I've come all the way from Joplin to let somebody know that the seventh day is almost here. God's voice is going to speak. God's word is going to be prevalent in our life. And here Moses is on the clouds, in the clouds, on the mountain for 6 days, and God never spoke. You see, we want to see a manifestation, don't we? We want to hear God's voice. We want to see miracles. We want to see the enemy defeated. We want to see God work in miraculous ways. And most of us have a very difficult time to be on a mountain expecting God to speak to us, but yet it's a cloudy day. What do you do when it's a cloudy day? What do you do when your life seems to be cloudy? What do you do when you thought you obeyed God and you went to the mountain to hear God's voice and God has not spoken to you? You see nothing miraculous. You see you see nothing. You don't even sense God's presence, but you're there on the mountain because God told you to go to the mountain, and you hear nothing, nor do you see nothing. My friends, what do you do on a cloudy day? What do you do on a cloudy day? What do you do when you've obeyed God? What do you do when you've done everything God has told you to do, but yet you sit there to do nothing and the clouds are coming in? The sun is not shining. You don't hear God's voice. What do you do? And my friends, Moses obeyed the voice of God. Moses climbs the mountain to receive the law of God. He is sitting there for 6 days. It wasn't until the seventh day that God spoke to Moses and called him out of the cloud. And I want to give you four quick points today to help you understand what you need to do, or challenging you today, what you need to do when you find yourself in a cloudy day. I want to ask you some questions. The first question I want to ask you, if you find yourself in a cloudy day, this is the first question I want to ask you. Number one, can the presence of God be enough of a confirmation, or do you need an extravagant demonstration in your life? Let me ask you again, can the presence of God be enough of a confirmation, or do you need an extravagant demonstration in your life? You see, if you can't handle His presence without Him talking to you and revealing to you and demonstrating to you and multiplying something in your life, then maybe your faith is just immature. Maybe you haven't grown to a place in your life that you can be patient and rest on the mountain without having an extravagant demonstration. Most of us are Pentecostals. We want the shout. We want the goosebumps. We want the word. We want the prophetic word. We want miracles. We want signs. We want wonders. But a diet of manifestation only produces immature faith. Jesus over and over called that generation a wicked generation because all they wanted was signs and wonders. My friends, God's presence isn't limited to manifestations. Sometimes there isn't a manifestation. Sometimes there isn't a goosebump. Sometimes nobody gets healed. Sometimes nobody shouts. But it is in those moments that God reveals Himself to us that His presence should be enough, and you don't always need an extravagant demonstration. Can I say this? Can you live? Why do you have to live by explanations? Can you not live by promises? We always need everything explained to us. We always need everything revealed to us. We always need something to be extravagant to us so that we understand. But in the Bible, we are not called to live by explanations. We are called to live by promises. Can I hear an amen? So number one, can God's presence be enough of a confirmation in your life, or do you need an extravagant demonstration? Number two, can you handle the privilege of invitation without the bestowing of responsibilities? Can you handle the privilege of invitation without the bestowing of responsibilities? In other words, does our labor overshadow our devotion? Can you rest? Can you resist the temptation to feel like it's wasted time because you have no responsibilities? I'm going to say that again because that's a powerful word. Can you resist the temptation to feel like it's wasted time because you have no pointed responsibilities? Moses is on the mountain. Moses is sitting there for 6 days in the clouds. He is doing nothing. He's not preaching. He's not teaching. He's not laying hands on people. He's not counseling anybody. He is sitting there for 6 days. And some of us have a hard time. If we don't got the mic and we're not preaching and we're not praying and we're not counseling, then we think it's wasted time. But sometimes God will bring you to the mountain so that you will rest a while. Did you hear me today? Can you handle the privilege of invitation without the bestowing of responsibility? Sometimes God will call you away and for you to rest spiritually. You see, God's plan is this. You work, you work, you work, and then you take a day off. You work, you work, you work, and you take a day off. But in the American culture, it's work, 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 vacation. Work, 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 vacation. And God is saying, in my economy, in the way that I have structured things, you cannot always be preaching and teaching and laying hands on the sick and not come along the side by yourself and rest a while. Moses is a pastor. Moses is a pastor of 3 million people, and God knew that. 3 million people who were disgruntled. 3 million people who complained all the time. 3 million people who never were happy about anything. And God says, before you lead these people, you've got to learn how to lead yourself. So come to the mountain and rest a while. Isn't that what you find in the New Testament? Mark chapter 6 and verse, I think, around 37, 36. The Bible says before they performed the miracle of the fish and the loaves, the Bible says, Jesus said to the disciples, come with me to a deserted place and rest a while. Before the miracle of the fish and the bread, before it was multiplied, the scripture indicates to us that Jesus took those disciples with him to a deserted place to rest a while before the miracle happened. Because this is the principle of God. Before God elevates you, he will always isolate you. And so that's exactly what happened. God says before the miracle of the fish and the bread is multiplied in the lives of people, in the eyes of people, you need to come with me and you need to rest a while. You see, God, the Father, was pleased of Jesus before Jesus did anything. Before Jesus went into the public ministry, before Jesus healed the sick, before Jesus raised the dead, before Jesus preached on the Judean hillside, before Jesus did any of that, Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, and the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You know what God is saying? I am pleased with you, Jesus, before you did anything. Because sometimes our preaching and our teaching and our church services have become idols in our life. And God is saying, you got to come to the mountain and you got to rest a while before I thrust you out into the public. Can you handle the privilege of being invited to the mountain without having responsibilities? I've heard preachers say all the time, I just don't know how to rest. I just don't know how. And God is saying, you need to rest. People say, well, the devil don't rest. Well, the devil is not your example. The devil isn't your example. And what happens is that our work and ministry becomes an idol and we can never rest. You will either burn out or you'll be poured out. And I've decided that I want to be poured out, not burn out. Can I hear an amen? So can Moses go to the mountain without having any responsibility? And that's what God was teaching him. God was saying, I want to produce space and pause in your life, Moses. Some of us can't take 3 or 4 days off, but you can take pause and space. A space and pause in your life where you come along and you rest a while. Number 3. Can you rest in silence and enjoy his presence? Can you rest? Number 1, can the presence of God be enough of a confirmation, or do you always need an extravagant demonstration? Can you sit there for 6 days in the cloud? Number 2, can you handle the privilege of invitation without pointed responsibilities? Number 3, can you rest in silence and enjoy his presence? In other words, Moses, is the tablets of the law, are they more important than resting in my presence? Or are you so anxious to write what I want to tell you? God may give you time to rest, but time to rest is not time to waste. He never requires time of you that's wasteful. Where you need to be and who you need to be, because what God is doing in you and through you is much greater than what's happened to you. He has reasons why Moses needs to wait. God doesn't rush anything. God is very intentional about everything he does. So when God is doing nothing, he is still doing something, because God's always intentional about everything he does. So when God says yes, he's doing something. And when God says no, he's still doing something. And when God's waiting, he's still doing something, because God is intentional about everything that he does. So if he calls you to the mountain to wait, it is very intentional, because God is doing something in you and through you. He's isolating you before he elevates you into the public square. Hallelujah. Nothing happens by happenstance. God doesn't need time to speak. He needs you to have time to wait. His servant needs to wait before God speaks. You are sitting close. Listen to this. I'm almost done. You're sitting so close. You're on the mountain. You're in the clouds. You're on the 4th day. He hasn't spoken yet, but you know you've been obedient to God. God told you to go to the mountain. And some of us are so close to our next, but we can't receive it unless you sit in 6 cloudy days. No miracles, no preaching, no laboring, just sitting for 6 days. Number 4, and in closing, is God worth the chase? I mean, Moses is on the cloud. He's in the mountain, so to speak. He's on the mountain, and the cloud is there. It's God's cloud. The cloud actually is the presence of God. But there is no extravagant demonstration. Nobody's getting healed. There's no church services. It's just the presence of God. And so Moses is on the mountain, in the cloud, or in the presence of God. And sometimes postmodern Christianity, we become so in a hurry to get to the 7th day, we're not willing to wait to see what God is doing in our life. We want the spotlight instead of being in the light. We want to be discovered instead of being developed. We want a demonstration instead of being a disciple. And God is saying, I want you to stay on this mountain, because I am trying to develop you before the people discover you. And not every blessing is waiting for you to arrive on the 7th day. In other words, Moses had to wait for 6 cloudy days before God spoke. God eventually did speak. He spoke on the 7th day. But what Moses did on those six cloudy days was very, very important. Remember in the Old Testament, before the walls of Jericho came down, God told the children of Israel, I want you to march around these walls and I want you to keep your mouth shut. So really the miracle wasn't in the shout. You know, shout and the walls come down. Well, that's false theology. The shout did not cause the walls to come down. It is what they did in the 6 days leading up to the seventh day that caused the walls to come down. So what you are doing in the six cloudy days determines how God speaks to you on the seventh day. Amen. Is God trying to awaken your faith? Is he trying to mature your faith? God is still worth the chase. Even though he doesn't speak till the seventh day, he is still worth the chase. He is still worthy of my attendance. He is still worthy of me waiting for the seventh day. He never, listen, my friends, listen. If we're in a hurry of trying to get to the seventh day, we will miss what God wants to do in the 6 days. We have a disease which is called destination disease. If I could just get to what God wants me to get to, if I can get what God wants me to get, I know I'll be happy. But when you get there, you usually talk about how you got there. So the journey is just as important as the destination. Don't miss the journey. What is God trying to teach me along the way? What is God trying to tell me on this mountain in the clouds? It's just as important. How did Moses make it in the cloudy days? You know how Moses made it in the cloudy days? He never stopped expecting what had not yet been manifested. Can I say that again? How did he make it in the six cloudy days? He never stopped expecting what had yet not been manifested. God said, go to the mountain. I'm going to meet you there. I'm going to speak to you, I'm going to reveal something to you, Moses. And Moses sat there for 6 days and nothing was said. And the reason that Moses made it through those six cloudy days is because every day he held on to the promise that eventually God is going to speak. Eventually God is going to come through. Hallelujah. My friends, the reason you can make it today, the reason that you can hold on to your healing, the reason you can hold on to your miracle is because we don't live by explanations. We live by the promises of God. Hallelujah. Is there anybody in the building that still believes he's worth the chase? I said, do you believe he's still worth the chase? How many knows he's still the Redeemer? How many knows he's still the healer? How many knows he's still the provider? He's still the protector. He's the all-powerful one. Oh, hallelujah. He's still worth my chase. Oh, hallelujah. He's still worth my chase. Hallelujah. Don't give up. I said, don't give up. I said, don't give up. Oh, he's still worth the chase. Hallelujah. Now, I know some of you are looking at me like a greasy pig at a county fair, and you think I've lost my mind. But I tell you, I was born in the fire, and smoke will never do. I still believe in the Holy Ghost. I still believe in the power of God. I still believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Woo! Somebody needs to shout your hair down right now and give God glory. Come on, somebody needs to give him praise right now. Come on, somebody needs to give the devil a flat iron. Give God praise. He's still worthy. He's still worthy. He's still worthy. I'm going to praise him. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Come on, give God praise today. Yatalobo shabayatalabahasata. Yadalobo sadabahata. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in. I'm going to wait until he speaks. Oh, hallelujah. He's about ready to speak. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. Now, Father, I thank you that every stronghold of the enemy is broken and the power of God is released. Our ears are open. Amen, amen. Now, I just want to be obedient to the Lord. The pastor said I could do this. But the lady from the red carpet ministry stand here. The Lord gave me a word when you was speaking the other day. Come on, stand here. And the Lord said to tell you, you need another building. And the building's going to be bigger than the building that you had before. And you say, well, how am I going to get it? Don't worry about it. Somebody's going to come and give you a building, says the Lord. Come on, somebody, bless the Lord. We speak it into existence. Thank you, Lord. As the fish and the loaves were multiplied, the Lord says, I'm going to multiply it for you. Come on, somebody, bless the Lord today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise the Lord. I'm about to ready to shout here, and I don't want to make y'all uncomfortable, but I got to go home. I just wanted to teach a Bible class and go home. I want to let you know the devil is defeated and God is exalted. Mm-hmm.